My dear friends, in Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior. These words of our Lord are words of such great comfort from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the last few verses of that chapter. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, Wednesday evening, like a number of you, we attended the Army Band and Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus at the Napoleon High School. What a show. A few of us were talking about it here this morning. What a show. I love the trombones, the four trombones, if you were there and you heard there a little quartet, but especially the patriotic music, that glorious music that just stirs your heart and soul, and it arouses within you a sense of pride in your country and gratitude for being born an American, and thanksgiving for all of our liberties and for all of those men and women who either served or who had family members who served our nation in its armed forces. I'm glad to be an American, and I am so thankful for all of our liberties, and I would gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. God bless America. That's the way you came away from that concert. You left that concert just on a high like that. But then the next day, I opened up Drudge Report on the internet. That's my way of keeping up with the news and my daily dose of depression, I guess. And so I don't be too chipper in life, you know. And I'm reminded by all of the headlines that I read there of, well, just how blessed our country is, but for all of the blessings of our country, and for as thankful as I am for it, it's still not anything that is going to bring peace and rest to my soul. As a matter of fact, I might, as far as that goes, I might have to say just the opposite. America today makes me worry. It makes me uneasy and restless. But I suppose that's nothing new for the human family. Mankind has always been restless in this and uneasy about life in this world into which sin has been introduced. And it's a restlessness that is born out of a separation from our Creator. We have this hole in our hearts and in our souls because we've been separated by our sins from our Creator. And not knowing what it is that creates that hole within us, everybody is looking for peace and rest here in this world, everywhere they can possibly find it. Even David exclaimed in Psalm 55, he said, "Oh, that I had the wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest." And who of us here hasn't shared David's escapist fantasy? If we could just have wings and fly above it all and get away from it and go find some place here on the earth where I could be at peace and at rest and get away from all of the turmoil and the hubbub and the sorrow and the sadness and the problems. Just fly away. And yet it never works. It never works. Look at all the attempts that mankind has tried to just fly away from it all and to get away. I just saw a PBS special on the Summer of Love, 1967, I think it was. 100,000 young people, hippies, came to the area of the intersection of Haight and Ashbury Street in San Francisco, believing that they could set up their own idyllic little community based on free love. What a beautiful dream they thought they had, until the dream quickly faded in a tide of homelessness and squalor and disease and crime and hunger. So much for being at rest in this world. And then there's Nauvoo, Illinois. Do you know about that town? Its history? Nauvoo, Illinois is where the fledgling Mormon church, the Flock, landed in 1839. Nauvoo is a name that means beautiful in one of the Indian languages. And for 5 years, Joseph Smith and his followers tried to set up this beautiful little outpost away from the rest of the world, this idyllic little community where they could escape and fly away. But it failed too. Suppression of the press by the church officials, and religious disputes and scandals and factions and financial woes all led to the downfall of Nauvoo, that beautiful little community. And the Mormons had to head further west, all the way out to Salt Lake City they eventually landed. Oh, even the good folks of Gilligan's Island couldn't get it right, could they? Their ship, the SS Minnow, took them to this beautiful little island. I didn't intend to land there, but what a beautiful little island. Everything that they needed. And yet they could not be at peace. There was always trouble between them or some other thing causing trouble. That's why the professor was always trying to make radios out of coconuts so they could get off that island and get out of there. You'd want to be rescued too if you had to live with Thurston Howell III and Lovey. Ah, the dream of flying away just never seems to work, does it? You know, even America itself was founded as a place where people could fly away. Where the huddled masses yearning to breathe free could come and find liberation from the oppression of other nations. And Lady Liberty would stand there in New York's harbor and hold up her torch high, her torch of freedom for those people. Welcome. You can fly away here and escape. And we sing of America the Beautiful. We will sing that song at the end of our service today. And we sing of alabaster cities, undimmed by human tears. It is this idyllic vision of a place where you can get away and escape. We even speak of America as a dream, don't we? The American dream, we say. And we should work hard to make that dream a reality for everybody equally, as best we can. These are our ideals. But at the same time, we know the harsh reality of sin in this world. There is no escaping it. There is no getting away from the restlessness that it creates within us, even here in America. And even the song America the Beautiful acknowledges that, doesn't it? When we say, God, mend thine every flaw. And we have plenty of flaws. We have laws that permit the murder of our unborn children. And tens of millions have been slaughtered. I am not at ease about that in my country. Courts in our land are circumventing the will of the people, forcing things on us like gay marriage. And more, America almost seems to be becoming like a judicial oligarchy with these little groups of judges imposing their views upon the rest of us, and we never get to talk about it through our representatives. And I'm worried about that. We have violent and determined enemies, radical Islamists, and that makes me restless. And the economy, do I need to say more? I just read this past week that even Starbucks is closing 600 stores. My goodness, what's the economy coming to when Starbucks closes stores? I don't know if you saw the picture on the internet, but there's this picture, it's captioned, Life Discovered on Mars. And it shows this barren Martian landscape, just red with all these rocks. Nothing out there at all except a Starbucks store. They're everywhere. That's the joke, right? They are everywhere. When a business as ubiquitous as Starbucks starts closing stores, it makes you uneasy, doesn't it? And now there's a report that says America is the world's top consumer per capita of cocaine and other drugs. That makes me uneasy. I'm not at peace about those things. There is no human escape from the restlessness that sin has brought into the world and into each of our hearts and lives. Not at a patriotic concert, not in America, not in any human utopia, not even on Mars. Where they're closing Starbucks stores. I noticed the bulletin cover this morning. Here is a place where you could fly away, right? And get away from it all. An idyllic place of peace and rest. Yeah, sure, but if I were there, I'd be having to swat mosquitoes, sneezing from pollen allergies. The guy who has to harvest that wheat field in the back will probably have problems with his combine. There's no getting away from it. And so to the huddled masses, yearning to breathe easy, our Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My burden is easy. My yoke is light." He does not take every unpleasant thing away from us in life, or he does not lift every burden from our shoulders. That's not his promise. But he does make every burden lighter and every yoke easier. He shares the weight of our load, and he takes the cutting edges off of the crosses that we have to bear. And we can come to the end of each and every day and lay our heads on our pillows and have a peaceful night of sleep when we place ourselves into his care and we press on each day in his strength and in his grace. The rest that Jesus offers us in this text is so much more than any kind of rest that the world would offer to you in bucolic, beautiful places where you get away and you think that you may be able to fly away from your problems. It never works out, folks. But the peace that Jesus offers, the rest that he offers, is so much more. It's not a rest from the externals of life. It's a rest inside of here, in your heart and soul, where you are at rest and at peace. He offers that to you. And it means certainty, and it means reconciliation, and he gives both of those things. In Christ, we are certain of the forgiveness of our sins, that God is kindly disposed toward us, that he loves us. And through his Son, Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. We are at peace with our Creator. Sin has been removed because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which atones for it all. We are living in grace. That's where you find your peace and your rest, in the grace of God, not in some beautiful field of flowers. We live in grace. And in that grace, all of our past misdeeds that make us feel guilty and keep us awake at night and cause restlessness in our souls, all of those past misdeeds have been canceled. And all of life is transformed. Burdens are lifted. Anxieties are placed at the feet of Jesus Christ each day in prayer. And in his compassion and patience, he bids us daily to come to him and to find rest for our weary souls. And that's what the Sabbath commandment is about too. You know that. The third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, the day of rest, to keep it holy. Keeping the day of rest holy does not mean kicking back in your lazy boy and sleeping during a golf match on TV. That could be part of it, but you have not rested, Exodus says, until you have rested to the Lord. That's where your rest is. It's when you recline on him and on his grace and love. Then you have rested. And that's why we're here today, to rest upon the Lord, to recline with him at his table, and to receive him. That's what it means to rest. And that's what Jesus offers. I'll tell you a little story. A story called The Necklace, by a French author whose name I will not even try to pronounce. But the story is about a Madame Loisel, who was a very simple woman, didn't have any fancy clothing or jewelry, but nevertheless, she was invited to a fancy engagement. And she was very honored to receive this invitation, but she said, "There's no way I can go to it. I just don't have the proper dress for such an occasion." Well, her loving husband, bless him, he took all of his life savings and he got his wife a dress that would be suitable for this engagement. But even after that, she said, "I still can't go to the party because I don't have jewels. I don't have the proper jewelry." And her husband suggested, "Well, why don't you go to this friend of ours and borrow some jewelry?" And she did. She went to this friend, borrowed this beautiful necklace. Jeweled necklace. And she went to the party. And it was a smash evening, a smash success for her. She was the belle of the ball. She was graceful. She was beautiful. She was elegant. She was the light of the party. She filled up the room with her presence. She was happy as could be. And that night she came home from the party and she went over to the mirror to look one last time at herself in all of her glory and realized the necklace was missing. It was gone. And as the story goes, the Loisels went heavy into debt in order to try to purchase a replacement for that jewelry. And they lived in poverty so that they could save every penny to pay off that debt. And after 10 years of hard work, Madame Loisel was weary and she had aged and she was dressed like a pauper and she lived like a pauper and she ate like a pauper. And then she ran into this friend from whom she had borrowed the jewelry 10 years earlier. She had been trying to avoid her all this time, but now she felt she had to come clean and she had to tell the story. So Madame Loisel told her friend what had happened, that she had lost that necklace 10 years earlier. But to her astonishment, this friend replied that that necklace she was so concerned about was just an imitation, worth no more than 500 francs. Turns out Madame Loisel had been wearied and restless because of a debt she didn't even have to carry. Just like a lot of people in this world and in your life are carrying around a debt they don't have to carry. But they think they have to work off their sins. They have to pay for their salvation in some way by their deeds. They carry around this terrible debt and they are wearied and they are burdened, when all along Jesus Christ had paid the price by His life, by His death, by His suffering, and by His resurrection. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Shepherd of our souls, with all of our burdens and anxieties, we come to You and place them at Your feet. We are so helpless, so weary, so exhausted. Draw us to Your bosom and soothe us with Your promises. We have no other refuge, therefore we come. Patiently receive us once more. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, that is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.